Amen. It would be a wonderful thing indeed if every man, woman, and child had the yearning desire to know more about Jesus. All of us should have that desire to know more about Jesus so that our lives can be greater enriched and blessed by the knowledge of Him that we fill our hearts with. Good morning to everybody. Good to see each of you here. We are honored by the presence of those who are visiting with us. We want you to know that you are our honored guests. We are delighted to have Brother Abednego Lulu. I think he has taught me to say that correctly, from Swaziland. He's sitting right behind Brother William Prowl. We are delighted to have him with us. He's been in the States for a few weeks, and he dropped by to visit with us on today. And we'll be privileged to hear a message from him on tonight. How many mothers do we have in the audience this morning? Oh, isn't that wonderful? Now, if you don't mind, if you can, we're going to ask our mothers to stand just for a moment. If you are impaired and unable to stand, we understand. Thank God for mothers. Y'all look wonderful, and we are grateful to God for you. You may be seated. Everybody has a mother. Doesn't make any difference who you are, where you're from. You could not get into the world without a mother. And everybody should live in such a way as to honor their mothers. You know, if everybody lived in such a way as to honor their mothers, oh, the world would be such a much better place. Peace and tranquility would prevail if every single human being on the planet lived in such a way as to honor their mother. We want to just take a look at mothers today. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12, and also Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. But as you're turning to those passages again, I want to share with you what a mother means to us and what mothers do for us and what mothers are insofar as the numerous roles that mothers fill in our lives. And we're going to just kind of quickly go down through the alphabets, looking at the roles that mothers play in the lives of their children and their families. Mother is an artist. She beautifies the home and colors endless coloring book pictures. Mother is a beautician. She clips, cuts, and curls little beauty's hair. Mother is a chauffeur. She delivers one child to a piano lesson, picks up another after a ball game, hurries to her husband's plane, takes the children to school, takes them to Bible class, takes them to church. Mother's a dietitian. She plans endless menus and makes vegetables tasty. Mother is an engineer. She keeps the home's wheels well oiled and running efficiently. Mother is a fashion designer. She alters hand-me-downs and creates originals. Mother is a guardian of the virtue of her family. Mother is a housekeeper. She straightens and cleans and wipes up spills, makes up beds, and keeps everything the way it should be. Mother is an information bureau. She answers thousands of youthful questions. Mother is a judge. She's called upon to settle the daily disputes that erupt whenever two or more children are gathered together. Not only that, but mother is a keeper at home. She functions masterfully in her unique role as the one who guides the house and gives not occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. 1 Timothy 5:14. Mother is a laundry worker. She endlessly washes, dries, folds, and puts away. Mother's a musician. She sings lullabies to coax droopy eyes to sleep. She's a nurse. She treats a variety of ills, from scraped knees to broken hearts. She's an organizer. She arranges birthday parties, shopping expenditures, ball games, and work projects. She's a pharmacist. She dispenses Band-Aids, children's aspirins, and other medications. She is the queen of the home. She is the center around which the family revolves. She is the recreation director. She is the seamstress. She's the teacher. She's the upholster. She's the vocational counselor. She's a waitress. She's an X-ray technician. She sees right through excuses, evasions, and cover-ups to get to the truth underneath. She is a yard worker. She plants and prunes and trims. And finally, she is a zoo keeper. She feeds the pets. The children solemnly promise they would take care of. So all of these are various roles that mothers fill. And yet, this list is not exhaustive. Mother does a lot of other things that we must give her credit for. And she enriches and blesses our lives beyond measure. Exodus 20 and verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Ephesians chapter 6, Brother David read for us verses 1 through 4. I'm just going to read verses 1 and 2 again for reemphasis. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, and our emphasis is on the mother today, which is the first commandment with promise. The family is of vital importance, for the family was the first institution formed upon the face of the earth. God made man and woman, Adam and Eve, and they became man and wife. Then Eve bore a son, and she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Thereby the first family was formed, created as the most important institution, as the foundation of all human life and development that was to follow. The intricate, integral unit of the family is indispensable for the continuation of civilization. It is the family that forms the community, the family that forms society and governments of nations. It is not enough for men and women to exist. Men and women must become fathers and mothers. They must give birth to children, or else everything human eventually ceases to exist. Human life would stop. Human society would come to a close. Human governments would also cease to exist. The family, father, mother, and child, the most important institution, the very foundation of society itself, the very foundation of communities, the very foundation of nations. As goes the family, so goes society. We also cannot overemphasize the value of stable, secure, spiritual families in maintaining the vitality of the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There should exist a symbiotic relationship between the home and the church. The church should be benefited by what the home offers, and the home must be benefited by what the church offers. What goes on in the home affects the church, and what happens and what is done in the church ultimately affects the home. So they should work in a meaningfully cooperative relationship with each other. When we have stronger churches, we'll have stronger families and homes. When we have stronger families and homes, we'll have stronger congregations of the Lord's church. When you have stronger churches, you will have stronger marriages between husbands and wives. When you have stronger churches, you will have stronger parents, more spiritual-minded parents, parents who are more likely to live in such a way and to relate to their children in such a way as to be a wonderful blessing in their lives. Every generation must give attention to the family and strengthen it if the human race is to survive. Today, in reality, we are fools if we do not strengthen and secure our families and fortify our homes. The very survival of society and civilization depend upon strong families, upon strong fathers and mothers and children who honor and respect their parents and one another. For this reason, we must give attention and fight against the evils of men, the evils that destroy us all, the evils that will unravel the fabric of the human family, the evils that will rip up and undermine society itself, the evils that will destroy the home, the evils that will tear up civilizations, the evils of selfishness, disrespect, disobedience, rebellion, withdrawal, coldness, adultery, immorality, indulgence, license, alcohol, drugs, gambling, bitterness, revenge, hatred, hostility, abuse, murder, irresponsibility, greed, materialism, ungodliness, unbelief, and lawlessness. All of these things will thrive in a society where you don't have the kinds of homes that are godly, and homes where parents lead and parents guide and parents instruct and parents show a good example, and where children honor, obey, and respect their parents. God established the primacy and importance of the family forever when he created the first man and the first woman. He reinforces the primacy of the family with this great commandment: honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. And of course, when we ask, who is to honor the father and mother? Everybody. Everybody. Doesn't make any difference how young or how old you are. Everybody is obligated to honor father and mother. God loves man and has determined that man must be saved, not destroyed. Therefore, God has reached out to man and given him guidelines and rules and regulations and commandments to live by. If the family disintegrated, then all the great virtues of life to keep him from destroying himself would soon disappear: honor, respect, concern, responsibility, decency, love, peace, true love, joy, and peace. When the great virtues are weakened, community and society are weakened. This law, basically, despite the fact that the Ten Commandments were abrogated when Christ died on the cross, this concept of honoring parents, of honoring father and mother, has never been and will never be repealed. It is incorporated in the law of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We read Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know, children disturb me when you tell them to do something or ask them to do something, and they persistently inquire, why? How come I have to do this? Because it is right. That's why you need to do it. That's why you are required to do it. And some parents will simply tell them, because I said so. There's a lady who recently published a book. That's the title of it, Because I Said So. And when parents are properly respected and properly honored, then they will take a parent at their word, and they will go ahead and obey, regardless if they understand all of the wherefores and how comes. You know, it's interesting, and we should have the same attitude toward our parents that Mary encouraged the servants at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee to have. She said to the servants, y'all remember what she said, don't you? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Peter had been toiling all night over in Luke chapter 5, fishing, hadn't caught a thing. Jesus told him to cast his net out. And Peter said, Master, we've toiled all night. We didn't catch a thing. We are experienced fishermen. Nevertheless, because you said it, we'll do it. And they followed his instructions, and they caught so many fish, it was hard for them to accommodate all of them. And of course, they had the trust in him, like the kind of trust that children must have in their parents. You know, he said, obey your father and mother that your days may be long on the earth. You know, there are a lot of children right now who've passed off the scene because they were disobedient. And so it's vitally important that we teach children to honor their parents and obey their parents unquestioningly, because their lives could depend on it. And sometimes little children running away from mama, and says, come back here, Johnny. And he looks back laughing and keeps running. And then mama bursts out laughing. That's not good. That's not good. You know, while he's in the safe confines of the house or the safe confines of the fenced-in yard, he can keep on running because he can only go so far. But it's a dangerous thing. You need to teach him when mama says, stop, you immediately stop. When mama says, come, you immediately come. Because one day you can be downtown at an intersection and little Johnny, 3 or 4 years old, not paying attention to what he's doing, takes off running. And he's running out into the traffic, and he's just about to enter into the traffic of a busy intersection, and mama says to him, Johnny, stop! And Johnny looks back and keeps running. And he's hit by a car and killed. If he had understood, even at his tender age, the vital importance of obedience, his life would be saved. I was listening to the news back this past week, and some of you probably heard it as well. At a club on Murfreesboro Road, at about 2 o'clock in the morning, there was a young man who was shot to death. Got to arguing inside the club. Came out, sat in his car. 2 men with whom he was arguing, they came out. This young man got out of his car, and he was shot 3 times, and he was killed. If my memory serves me properly, he was just 21. I don't know if his mama told him, son, you be in by 11:30. My mama, 21. You know, why can't I go out and have a little fun? Why can't I stay out late? I'm not a child. I'm grown. Son, don't stay out late. Son, don't frequent the clubs. Well, I want to have some fun. You're a lot better off by following the counsel, following the guidance of your parents. And a lot of children, a lot of young people would be alive today. A lot of young people would be at home today and going about their regular activities rather than in the county jail, rather than in prison, if they had only listen to their parents. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. To honor means to listen to the instructions of our parents, to obey the instructions, never forsaking them. Proverbs 1 and verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs chapter 6:20 emphasizes the same thing. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. To honor means to listen to our parents and never despise them or look down upon them or treat them with contempt when they're old. Proverbs 23, verse 22, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. To honor means to be wise, never foolish. Proverbs 10 and verse 1. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Proverbs 15 and verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son despiseth his mother. He disrespects his mother. He treats his mother with contempt. He looks down upon his mother as if she doesn't know what she's talking about, as if she's an old fogey, as if she's out of touch with the times. He despises her, but he does it to his own detriment. He does it at his own peril. To honor your mother means to have a testimony of pure and right behavior. Proverbs 20 and verse 11 is a verse that all of our children should be encouraged to memorize. What does 20:11 say? It says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work, that is his behavior, his conduct be pure, and whether it be right. Isn't that something? Even a child is known by his doings. You know, we need to start teaching children to be respectful, to be obedient, to honor their mothers while they are just little folk. To honor means to respect and reverence our parents when they are elderly. Leviticus 19:32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary or gray head and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. I want to share with you three final reasons why all of us should honor our parents. Number one, we should honor our parents because it should be easy to obey this commandment, because it is a natural to do so. This commandment, as it were, is built into the very structure of life. It is a part of life's constitution. It's a natural. There never was a society of any kind in which this commandment was not accepted as binding. In ancient Greece, if a son did not support his parents in their old age when they needed support, he would lose his citizenship rights. The Greeks believed that to honor parents is part of the basic duty of every citizen. Anyone who has good parents and who does not realize the duty of honoring them is an unnatural person. Just a part of life. Nature itself demands that we honor our parents. Reason number two, it is a duty of gratitude to keep this commandment. It was our parents. It was our mother who brought us into the world. And we owe them our very lives. And this is something that's interesting to me. Of all living creatures, man takes longest to become able to support and look after himself. Just think about it. Takes man a long time to get to the point of independence. He lives in a state of dependence upon his parents longer than any other creature. You know, a lot of creatures, after 3 or 4 months, Eric, they're on their own. After 2 or 3 years at the max, a lot of creatures are on their own. Birds are compelled to fly for themselves by their mamas. Mama will feed them bugs and worms and grubs and all kinds of things until she gets them to a certain point. She says, you're on your own. They said that was a mama bird, a pigeon, who was trying to coax little Junior into flying. And he was just afraid to fly. And she'd try everything. She'd try to kind of push him a little bit and coax him and urge him and plead with him. He never would step out. And so one day she told him, she said, son, you're going to fly tomorrow or else. She said, because what I'm going to do is, if you don't fly on your own, I'm going to tie a string to you and I'm going to pull you out of the nest and make you fly. He said, Mama, I'll fly. I'll do it on myself. I'll do it on my own. I don't want to be a pigeon toad. Some of y'all never will get that. But there comes a time when a younger needs to be kicked out of the nest. You know, people are staying home longer now than they have in a long time. Yeah, people will stay home 22, 23, 24, 25. And then there's some kids, go out of the house. They leave mama. And they like one of those Australian boomerangs. You throw them out. They go out there and circle around for a while. And they come right back. But we need to be thankful for all that our parents do for us. There's a long time when we cannot get ourselves a home, a food, or clothes. And when we are entirely dependent on our parents. And there's a considerable part of that time when we are so helpless that a blow would kill us. And even if nothing were done to us and we were just alone, we would certainly die from neglect. We ought to find it easy to keep this commandment, if only as a matter of gratitude to those to whom we literally owe the fact that we came into the world. And that we survived through the years when we were quite unable to help ourselves or to get the things necessary to keep the body and soul together. We ought to be grateful that in many, many homes, the parents do without things and plan and save and sacrifice that their children will have a better chance to do well in their lives. That's why young people, your parents are putting forth a great effort in order to ensure that you have the opportunity to get an clothes, they're paying for your food, paying for your transportation, and they're paying taxes that is used by the school systems in order that you can get the best education possible. Some of them were not so privileged when they were coming along, and they are making all kinds of sacrifices for you. And you have the nice little outfits to wear to school, and plenty of lunch money. You know, when I was in school, Eric, Dad would give me a dime sometimes, and I'd buy 3 boxes of chocolate milk, and the lady would give me a penny back for change. Marigold Elementary, I couldn't afford, most of the time, I couldn't afford the 20 or 25 cents it cost to have lunch. Now, if you had 20 cents, you in the money. You win the money if you had 20 cents. But children have whatever they need. Even some high school kids got their own cars. They drive themselves to school. On mom and daddy's dime, they buy the gas and everything. But after the sacrifices are made, after the taxes are paid, after the school is bought, and I mean after the clothing is bought and all the provisions are made, then our kids, if they're not careful, will go to school every day and still not get educated. And still not get their lesson. And still not get an education. That's like going into Kroger. I want y'all to think about this. Going into Kroger. Mama sends you to Kroger. She says, I'm going to let you go in so you can learn how to shop. Gives you a list. You take that list into Kroger, and you get 2 big baskets of groceries. And they bag it up for you, put it in 2 baskets, and you using mama's debit card, pay for it all. $198. And then you get about 3 or 4 bags and take it out to the car. And you leave all the other groceries in the store that you've paid for. But that's ridiculous, Brother Jones. I would never do that. Mama wouldn't stand for it. But we'll go to school. Mama paid for our education, paid for us to go to school. And we'll leave school at the end of the school year and leave the education right there in school. And we come home empty. What's the difference? Appreciably, there is no difference. So young people, under mother's encouragement, under mother's guidance, under mother's instructions, do the very best that you can. Take full advantage of the opportunities of life. You should honor your parents. You should honor your mama. And one of the ways, one of the wonderful ways you can honor your mama is by doing your very best. You make mama proud. You are a credit to the family. I saw a lady's car Friday evening. On the back, there was a bumper sticker. And that bumper sticker said, I am the proud parent of a scholar. That's wonderful. She felt good about the academic achievements of her student. And all of us should be able to. As we close, one of the things we can do to honor our mother is to live in a way that is consistent with the other commandments. Live in a way that you have no other God before our God, Jehovah. Live in such a way that you don't take the Lord's name in vain. And by so doing, you'll be honoring your mama. Live in such a way that you never become guilty of adultery. That honors your mother. Live in such a way that you never become guilty of stealing. Live in such a way that you never become guilty. And I'm not just talking to our young folk. I'm talking to everybody. That you never become guilty of lying or bearing false witness. Live in such a way that you never become guilty of covetousness. Live in such a way that you live in compliance with all of the requirements of God. And that you love him with the totality of your being. Children should be motivated in part to honor their mothers, because our children are aware of the fact that we honor our mothers. Everybody should honor their mothers. That's vital. That's indispensable if we're to be the kind of people with whom God is well pleased. If you're here today, you're not yet a child of God. If you're here today and you've not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ, you can honor your mother today by becoming a Christian. You can honor your mother today by obeying the gospel of Christ. You can honor your mother today by being restored, by coming back to the Lord, rededicating your life. You can honor your mama. Sure, she'll be proud of you. Some people feel, well, Brother Jones, my mama is no longer with us. Well, my mama's no longer with us either. My dad is no longer with us. But it doesn't make any difference whether your parents are alive or deceased. You still have the obligation to honor them. And you still can honor them. And I say to those of you who have mothers left, mothers who are still around, take every advantage of every opportunity that you have to show mama that you love her. Amen. To show mama that you care about her. To show mama that you're thankful that God has blessed you with her. Don't let any opportunity slip through your fingers to spend time with her and to demonstrate how much you appreciate her. You can become a child of God today through repentance, confession, and prayer. If you already a child of God and you've strayed from the straight and narrow, you can come back to the Lord through repentance, confession, and prayer. If you are not a child of God and would like to become one, you can become a child of God through hearing the gospel, through believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. We would urge you to obey the Lord today. In whatever category you might find yourself, now's a good time to obey him. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Why not honor your mother today by being obedient to the Creator God as we together stand and as we sing?
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere. Listening, I'll be somewhere. Listening for my name. If my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name.